Welcome to the podcast. The Las Vegas Sun presents a weekly podcast about what else? Fighting. Andy Samuelson, a boxing writer and MMA writer for the Las Vegas Sun, joined today by Brett Okamoto, who also covers the beats with me. How's it going, buddy?
Doing pretty good, man. It's been busy weekend. I thought we were gonna just have Ultimate Fighter to look forward to, but now you know you got Mayweather getting hurt, and you know, in case you guys haven't heard, and you got Pacquiao maybe announcing his next fight, and so you know, there's a lot to talk to. Let's get going.
Well, let's talk with the biggest news of the last couple of days. Floyd Mayweather Jr., Pretty Boy Floyd, hurt a rib. Didn't break it, but looks like there might be some cartilage damage, and is gonna have to pull out of his July 18th fight against Juan Manuel Marquez. What do you think about that?
Pretty unfortunate injury, man. And, you know, we were just out there. Mayweather held a media day at his gym last Wednesday. You know, not too much going on, but, you know, invited the media out and said, you know, if you guys want to ask some questions, go ahead. And he looked ready to go to me. Actually, let's turn to one of those audio clips right now and see what Floyd had to say on Wednesday.
The main thing is being comfortable. You know, at this particular time, I'm comfortable because I don't feel like that. I'm comfortable because I'm at ease mentally. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, once you're at ease mentally and you're at ease, and then you put in the hard work physically, then everything always plays out like it's supposed to play out.
All right, so that's Floyd, and, you know, sounds like a guy ready to fight to me. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a freakish injury, but I don't think he's the kind of guy who would pull out. There are some rumors on the internet that he's pulling out to fight Pacquiao. That doesn't look like that's the case either. Today, Bob Arum, who represents both Miguel Cotto and Manny Pacquiao, says they're scheduled for a November 14th bout in Vegas. So he's under contract with Marquez. It seems like it's an unfortunate incident.
You know, these freak things happen. You know, sometimes you look at Mayweather and you think he's just, you know, this kid who's never going to get hurt, you know, perfect record. There's no way he's going to get hurt in training. But you know what? These guys aren't just tapping each other when they're training. They're going at it. And so, you know, I'm sure that Mayweather was training hard for this upcoming fight. And, you know, now we'll have to wait a little longer for Pacquiao, which, you know, I think, you know, who knows if Pacquiao was going to wait and fight Mayweather as soon as this fight was over or not. But now with the delay, I think Pacquiao will take a fight versus Cotto, which actually should be a pretty good fight in itself, too. Not one to not look forward to, right?
Definitely. I mean, Cotto and Marquez, these are no pushovers. These are formidable opponents. I mean, Cotto's only loss is to Margarito, who may or may not have been wearing the hand wraps. Everyone knows about that last fall at the MGM. But this one, I mean, it's going to happen. There's just too much money out there for these two not to meet up. But they're going to have to win, and I don't think that they're not, but it's going to be a little bit of a – they're going to be getting tested in there.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting for fight fans to be watching because, you know, I think a lot of people aren't giving Marquez a chance against Mayweather, you know. Hey, nobody was giving Pacquiao a chance against De La Hoya, but, you know, last year, and we all saw how that one turned out. So, you know, good fights. You know, Mayweather, Pacquiao maybe looms in the distance, but for right now, I'm pretty excited for both of these ones. You know, we'll see what happens.
Well, do you have another clip from –
I actually do.
From Roger Mayweather.
Roger Mayweather did say this about his nephew, and you know, saying that no one can hang out is even in the same class as him right now. Let's take a listen to that.
Well, I'm not really much working on in terms of no different kind of technique because he wasn't no boxing. He wasn't boxing since he was a baby. So I don't work. Pretty much on something different that I worked with Floyd on, with fighting De La Hoya or Castillo or whatever. I don't change the tactics of what he's going to use. My thing is that Floyd is a versatile fighter, so he pretty much can do all of it. He can box, he can slug, he can punch, he can take it, he can give it. There ain't no fighter in this area or in this day and time that has more skills than Floyd Mayweather.
All right, so that's Roger Mayweather, Floyd's trainer slash uncle, and, you know, pretty confident in his nephew. You know, Mayweather's always confident. You know, we'll see that fight probably hopefully in September. To you Mayweather fans, sorry you got to wait another, you know, couple months to see it, but should be a good one. You know, Pacquiao, will watch him versus Cotto, and then, if those two win, you know, if anything, it just builds hype for that mega fight.
Well, it's a big weekend just happened. UFC 99, first ever show in Germany. Let's talk about that. The main event, Wanderlei Silva, Rich Franklin, all the way to the end. Tough one that looked like it definitely went down to the judges' scorecards. Looked like it was pretty close there, too. And then Rich Franklin pulls out the unanimous decision victory.
Great
surprised
fight,
at all by that?
Yeah, no, well, great fight, first of all. Let's just give both fighters credit. I mean, God, Wanderlei is just the ex-murderer for a reason, huh? I mean, he is in there to knock guys out, you know? I mean, those punches he was throwing were looking to end the fight. And, you know, he doesn't look like a guy who's lost five of his last six fights. And, you know, people were talking about the decision. Did you agree with it? Did you not agree with it? Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, I agreed with it. You know, we actually talked to Rob Cardenas. That is Wanderlei's manager. He was actually watching the fight from Las Vegas. He had this to say about what he thought of the decision.
My gut reaction was, I mean, it was, there's no way it was a unanimous decision. You know, I try to be as objective as I can and kind of be really ultra critical when I'm watching, him fight. And so I wasn't hypercritical of the actual decision. It was the nature of the decision, if that makes any sense. I believe Wanderlei won the second and third rounds. I believe that he, at the worst case scenario, we were going to win a split decision. I believe that he inflicted more damage in the second round. Once the second round, I think that he was winning the third round, and I think what it ultimately came down to is that takedown right there, like the 39-second mark, where he kind of took him down and Wanderlei gets back up. I think, and then Rich ending up, you know, quote unquote, on having his back. You know, I think that was probably what, unfortunately, won the fight for Rich.
All right, so again, that's Rob Cardenas, manager of Wanderlei Silva. What did you think of his comments about as far as pretty close fight, maybe the Franklin takedown was the thing that decided it?
I saw the fight a little differently than you. We watched it together. I thought he almost knocked him out in the second round, and I thought he did enough to win the third, but I do think that late takedown, I think the difference was Wanderlei slipped a guillotine hold in the first round, about the last final 30 seconds of the first round, slipped off of him. I think that was the difference in the fight, actually.
Yeah, it was one of those interesting fights, you know, hard to pick a winner because when you look at it as far as which fighter was in trouble, obviously Rich Franklin was the fighter in trouble more often. I mean, the fight was definitely almost to the point where you might say one-sided. Franklin, you know, slipping in, working his jab, you know, really flustering Silva not really able to land anything. But when he did land, you know, you could tell that Franklin was hurt. It took him a moment to regain his composure. You know, I still stand by Rich Franklin won the fight, but you gotta give it up to Wanderlei, who actually is a Las Vegas resident, for those of you who don't know. And, you know, he's back in the States this week and not thinking at all about quitting. He's actually going to be moving down to 185, 10 pounds lighter than the fight this weekend. What do you think of the rest of his career?
I definitely don't think it's quite time for him to retire, but you got to look at he's lost five out of his last six. These are no slouches. I mean, we're talking about Krokop, Dan Henderson, Chuck Liddell, who else was out there? Rich Franklin, and obviously the big knockout in December to Quentin Rampage Jackson. So, I mean, he's losing to the best of the best, but at what point, how many more fights does he have in him? You know, he's all about the wins and losses don't really get to Wanderlei. He's all about the show. So I think he's at least got a couple more in there, and, you know, maybe he'll just fight Anderson Silva.
Man, if it's about the show, then he's got more than one in him, man. He's still exciting to watch. No one can say that they don't enjoy watching this guy fight. So we'll see what happens when he moves down to 185. That's going to be interesting, trying to cut weight. I mean, he is a burly man. He is strong. He is athletic. And I don't know where he's cutting fat, man, because the guy is not having love handles as far as I can tell. So we'll see where that 10 pounds comes off, and we'll see how much energy he's got left. But, you know, they put him up against some guys in the middleweights. I mean, no slouches either. You know, don't give him fights that, you know, obviously that he's just going to run away with. Give him some contenders, you know. Give him some guys who can get him acclimated to that 185 weight class. And, you know, eventually, if it comes down to you know, Silva versus Silva, you know, Wanderlei taking on Anderson, that's going to be a great fight. And so, you know, a guy to keep an eye on, you know, definitely for the rest of his career.
Definitely. What else surprised you about UFC 99? Obviously, kind of a weird win and an even weirder situation with Krokop beating Turk in his first bout back at the UFC, and that lasted all about 10 minutes because as soon as it was over, he told Dana White that he's going to Japan's dream-based organization. Just a weird situation. Dana definitely not pleased. It is the first ever time he had given a one-fight contract over the phone, and it looked like it really backfired on him this time.
Yeah, what do you say to that if you're Dana? I mean, you give a guy
probably the expletives he dropped.
Yes, you know, that's probably what I'd be having for Krokop at this point too. You got a guy who, you know, UFC, he's got a lot of fan base already there from his former stint in it, and you know, comes back, says he's gonna fight three fights, fights one. You know, just weird situation. Just, you know, move on, forget about that one, I guess.
Also a close bout in another highly rivaled contest between Dan Hardy and Marcus Davis. Hardy gets the win, split decision, kind of some controversy there, but Hardy's your winner. And then I think we learned a little bit about Cain Velasquez. He remained undefeated, first time he ever went the distance. Chick Congo totally pushed him, but it looked like he knocked him out twice when he dropped to a knee, but Velasquez stayed in there, his ground and pound, his wrestling, and he got a very hard-earned victory.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this was an interesting fight, and, you know, I actually wasn't that happy with the outcome because you got two guys, you know, Velasquez is undefeated, but he gets a fighter like Chuck Congo, a guy that, you know, if he does knock out, then he's really made a name for himself. I mean, it was, what, his sixth win in a row?
Yes.
6-0 now. So, you know, there's that opportunity for him, and on the other side, you got Chuck Congo fighting a guy who's unbeaten, you know, a guy who a lot of people, you know, had some question marks about as far as, you know, how good is this guy? You know, how good is this undefeated fighter? This is going to be a real test for him. You know, both fighters in trouble. You know, Congo landing some shots, but then Velasquez turned into that, you know, that notorious ground and pound game that, you know, I think we're going to see a lot in the future. You know, neither of these fighters sold me, though, and it'll be interesting. I mean, I was really looking at this. If Velasquez comes out of this fight, you know, he's really a force to be reckoned with. By the end of the day, with a unanimous decision, I actually didn't feel that way, though. I mean, what did you think of Cain?
I definitely think it was a unanimous decision. I don't know if... I'm kind of surprised that you thought Congo could do more. You just thought that, I mean, if he could have kept it on his feet, he definitely might have been able to get the victory the way he was connecting there. But I think Velasquez showed another, he was smart to keep it on the ground. He might not have the brutal power of some other ground and pounders, but he was consistent. He was doing damage, and he was keeping Congo having to constantly focus on his ears or on a big knee there. I think you'll likely see maybe Shane Carwin and Velasquez, and then that'll probably be to settle who gets a shot at either Mir or Brock Lesnar after UFC 100.
I think without a doubt that, you know, that's the matchup now is Carwin and Velasquez. And, you know, by no means am I diminishing what Velasquez was able to do. He took some hard shots, you know, showed a very durable chin, showed that he can throw around a guy that doesn't look like he should be being thrown around in Czech Congo. But you know, I still have question marks. You know, he showed that he's vulnerable. You know, when he stands with you. You know, and he shows that, you know, despite how vicious his ground and pound is, you know, he didn't land enough good shots to really knock Chuck Congo out. And I would think that, you know, leaning on a guy for three straight rounds on the ground in top position the entire time, you'd be able to knock a guy out. I'm not saying I can do it. You know, wouldn't want to get in the ring with him, but at the same time, you know, he's going to have to beat Carwin for me to be completely sold on this undefeated kid.
And some other news out of the UFC today, 102 was announced, the long speculated and rumored Randy Couture versus Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira at August 29th at the Rose Garden in Portland, the first promotion in Portland. And, you know, that really kind of heads back to where Randy's roots are. So it should be an interesting and a lot of fanfare there for him.
Yeah, a lot of good ones coming up. You know, you got UFC 101. That's in August, and then, you know, 2 weeks later you turn around and you got UFC 102. So, you know, real exciting month. And, you know, I think you're going to see one of those situations like we just saw in the WEC 41, you know, where Urijah Faber was fighting in front of his fans in the Sacramento. And you got to see the kind of intensity and atmosphere that, you know, those fights can bring. And, I mean, it really can propel fighters to fight well, you know. I mean, Urijah Faber breaks his hand but fights three rounds, you know, with a broken hand. You know, and I'm sure that the home crowd helped him do that. So, you know, I'm excited to see what Randy Couture does, you know, in front of that fan base at home.
Well, that brings us to next weekend. No slouch on this card in Vegas, the Ultimate Fighter. Not only will it be the Americans versus the Brits, well, maybe, right?
Yeah, asterisk on that one. You know, we got two Brits in the lightweight, and we know we have at least one U.S., thank God, in the finals, and we're waiting to see who the last one is.
But also the main card, Diego Sanchez versus Clay Guida, should be, I mean, these are high-energy guys, fan favorites. Guida leaves it all out there, and you're seeing Diego in the next, his second match in the lightweight division. It should be, I think it's going to be a very spectacular showing.
Well, I'm actually surprised how under the radar this Ultimate Fighter 9 is flying, because you've got two guys who are really vying to be the next contender for a lightweight, you know, title shot. So, you know, you got Diego Sanchez, he's 22-2. And then you got Clay Guida, he is 25-6. These guys are both riding three win streaks, you know, have wins in their last three fights. And like you said, it's going to be a great fight. We actually got to get a hold of Guida on the phone earlier today. He was taking the trash out for his mom, is what he said. But he said he'd take a few minutes to talk with us. This is what he says about the fight.
He's never seen a furious pace. He's never fought me before. And it's going to take one time for me to go out there and set the tone. I make people fight my fight. It's that simple. I make people, you know, I set the pace, and if you can keep up with it, you know, good luck. So yeah, that's pretty much that simple. That I make people fight my fight. That's that simple.
All right, so that's the always colorful Clay. And here's the other interesting angle: is he beats Nate Diaz at his last showing, and Nate's fighting Joe Daddy Stevenson on this card, also in a, you know, another top level lightweight who lost to Sanchez. So kind of a interesting sub-angle there. And then that should also be one heck of a bout. Talked to Joe Daddy recently. He's now in Greg Jackson's camp out of New Mexico. And, you know, he felt like he had to switch it up just to have it come down to decision. He's lost three out of his last four. Obviously, BJ Penn, Kenny Florian, these are top-notch guys. But he figured he needed to switch it up a little bit.
Yep, you know, great showdown, great card, great lightweight card. You know, and then you get to see the U.S. hopefully versus U.K. Keep your fingers crossed. Great fighters in there. Ross Pearson facing Andre Winner in the lightweight division, and then you've got the American DeMarcus Johnson facing the winner of either James Wilkes or Frank Lester. So it's an exciting time. You know, it's out of the palms Saturday. First bout's at 3:45. So if you want to head out there, you know, try and catch some of the action. You know, feel free. It should be a great card. And like I said, I'm surprised this one's flying on the radar, because it'll be a good one.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up with a little more boxing. Obviously, you had Cotto winning a tough fight against Clotty. Gonna have to have those stitches. He got those, and that's what's kind of holding him back till a November date. And then you got Pacquiao possibly fighting Cotto. Then you have obviously the Mayweather news, but also you had a couple other Las Vegas guys. Bones Adams, the former champ, came back, and he got a win in his first fight in a year. And then also two amateur fighters won U.S. Nationals. And Jesus Magdalano and Michael Hunter Jr., the son of some people might know his dad, heavyweight boxer, the Bounty Hunter, same name. They both won. Michael Hunter, he repeated his title he won in 2007. And Magdalano, he really upset the top guy in the tournament, or at least most people's top guy, and Rasheed Warren. He beat him in the semifinals, but then he left no doubt in the finals, beating Luis Rosa 17-4. So some interesting news from a couple Las Vegas residents.
Yeah, congratulations to both those guys.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the Fightcasters. We'll be here every Monday night. Catch us at LasVegasSun.com, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, Brett.
See ya.